The night before the last day of school, my 8-year-old son said to me, "Hey, Dad, guess what? Tomorrow is the last day of school. It's a yes day. You have to say yes to anything I ask for." My immediate response was, "No, I don't. Your request has to be appropriate. Now, in honor of the last day of school, your mother and I are going to be as permission-giving as possible. We'll say yes to ice cream after school and maybe some other treats as well. But we're not going to say yes to everything you asked for just because you asked it." Now, with regard to our own lives, how do we go about saying yes and saying no over the course of a single day? Do we have a disciplined, intentional approach to prioritizing our day and making decisions? Or is our approach more haphazard, based more on how we feel at the particular moment? The spiritual practice of saying yes and saying no helps rescue us from the tyranny of the present moment. It frees us from being entirely subject to our personal whims and desires. It gives us an opportunity to examine our motives more carefully. For instance, if I am saying yes, why am I saying yes? Am I saying yes because this really is the right thing to do? Or am I saying yes in the hopes that other people will think well of me? And if I'm saying no, am I saying no because it's really not the right thing to do? Or am I saying no because of feelings of inadequacy or a fear of risking failure? The spiritual practice of saying yes and saying no is an honest, soul-searching approach to prioritizing each day so that we can say yes and no with integrity. It's a spiritual practice that asks, how is God at work in my life right now? How is God at work in my neighbor's lives? How is God at work in the life of our church and community? And as we discern what God is doing, we endeavor to say yes to the things that further God's work and no to the things that distract us from God's work. Consider the short enigmatic parable that Jesus told about the two sons. The father asked the first son to go and work in the vineyard, and the first son says, "No, I will not," but later changes his mind and goes to work in the vineyard anyway. The father asked the second son to go and work in the vineyard, and the second son says, "Of course," but then he's a no-show. Jesus poses the question, which one did the will of the Father? And the obvious answer is the first one, the one who actually showed up to work in the vineyard. This is a very brief parable, but there's a lot going on here. In the words of one commentator, if the main point of the parable was simply that actions speak louder than words, then why not have both sons say yes while only one shows up? Instead, Jesus constructs this parable very carefully so that the son who said no is the one who actually does show up for work, and the son who said yes is the one who doesn't. And when the Pharisees correctly answered that the first son is the one who did the will of the Father, Jesus tells them that some of the most infamous public sinners are entering the realm of God ahead of them. Because while the public sinners initially said no, they later responded to the preaching of John the Baptist and to Jesus' own ministry. Whereas the Pharisees initially said yes to God, their whole lives were around saying yes to God, and they agreed with Jesus 99% of the time. The encounters that we find in the gospel are about that 1% of the time where they didn't agree with Jesus. The Pharisees said yes to God, but they fumbled the ball at the goal line. In one very critical way, they failed. They failed to recognize God at work in the preaching of John the Baptist and in Jesus' own ministry. The parable is not so much about how actions speak louder than words. It's about, do we discern how God is at work? Do we discern the voice of God in the voice of the Father who summoned us to go and work in the vineyard? And if so, do we respond? An example of one person who said no before he later said yes is Josh Bishop. When he was 19, he and a companion, while under the influence of alcohol and cocaine, tried to hijack a car. And when the owner refused to hand over the car keys, Josh and his companion beat the owner to death. Josh was later convicted of murder by the state of Georgia and sentenced to death. A year later, a woman named Diana Schertenlieb was asked by a parish priest if she would be willing to correspond with an inmate on death row. When she agreed, the priest gave her a list of those on Georgia's death row, and she chose the youngest one on that list, which was Josh, who was then 22. Diana and Josh began exchanging letters, and eventually Diana decided that she wanted to meet Josh in person, so she arranged to visit Josh in prison. And the first time she saw Josh was that Josh was the kind of kid that you'd see out fishing. He could have easily been one of her own kids. Diana continued to visit Josh in prison. And over time, Josh became interested in Diana's faith. He wanted to learn more, and he wanted to become a Christian. Josh said, "I had lost my trust in people, but she brought me back into the arms of God." In his final years, Josh worked with a clinic at Mercer Law School, and he taught close to 50 students lessons about justice that they could never learn in a classroom. He offered abject apologies to the families of his victims, and he was comforted in the grace offered by a number of those he had hurt. He did what he could to encourage teenagers who struggled with bitterness or apathy. On March 31st, 2016, speaking words of repentance and love to the very end, Josh Bishop was executed by the state of Georgia. One detail I haven't shared yet is that Diana Schertenlieb almost didn't reach out. When the parish priest asked her about writing to death row inmates, she actually said no. But then she changed her mind. We need a spiritual practice for saying yes and saying no, because our yeses and nos can be consequential in ways we can scarcely imagine. A single yes or no can change a person's life. And in our prayers, we can ask God to help us say yes to whatever will impact people's lives for the better, and no to anything that distracts us from that. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual practice of discernment. And there's a lot of overlap between discernment and saying yes and saying no, especially in how both practices encourage us to discern how God is at work and to join God in that work. We might think of discernment as related to the big decisions. Who do we marry? What calling do we pursue? When is the right time to retire? And we might think of the practice of saying yes and no as pertaining to our daily to-do list. And indeed, we need practice with the little yeses and nos to help us be wiser with the bigger yeses and no's. If you say no to cheating on a high school quiz, then hopefully that increases the chances that you'll say no to cheating on your taxes. One preacher tells the story of a father and son who decided to give up something for Lent. The father gave up alcohol, and the son gave up candy. A few days later, the son saw his father drinking a glass of wine, and he reminded his father about his pledge. And the father replied, "Well, son, I've decided that I'm giving up hard liquor." To which the son replied, "Okay, I'm giving up hard candy, but cupcakes are back on the table." Now, to deny ourselves something small in its own way is a way of rebelling against a culture that tells us we can have anything we want when we want it. Learning how to say no is difficult, and most of us have so little practice in doing it that perhaps it is best to start with something small. So maybe it's okay to start with candy or even just hard candy and go from there. And sometimes it's really difficult to say no. We may require 12-step groups and other interventions to help us overcome addictions. And on the cover page of today's bulletin is a quote from theologian M. Sean Copeland, in which he says that in order for a no to be effective, It must be placed in the larger context of a life-affirming yes. The spiritual discipline of saying yes and saying no reminds us that God's first word to us is yes. The good news of the gospel is God's yes to us through Jesus Christ. First through creation, with God saying, yes, it is good. Then through God's covenant with us, with God saying, yes, I will walk with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Then through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, with Jesus saying to us, yes, I have come that you may have joy and that your joy may be complete. Yes, I am with you to the close of the age. Or as the Apostle Paul put it in his letter to the church in Corinth, Jesus Christ is an eternal yes, for all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. It is in response to God's great yes that we are invited to offer our own yes, our own offerings of praise and devotion, our own yes-shaped lives. Shawn Copeland offers some practical suggestions to help us with our yeses and nos. And she does so by encouraging us to begin the day with prayer and to end it with the examine. As we begin the day with prayer, we can pray about our day. We can ask for wisdom in prioritizing, in deciding where we might say yes and where we might say no. We can ask God for the grace to say yes to the life-changing possibilities we can't even imagine, such as when Diana changed her mind and said yes to beginning a correspondence with Josh. And at the end of the day, we can engage in the ancient Christian discipline of the examine, or examination of conscience. There are many models for this, many things that we might ask ourselves. But with this practice, our day-end examine, we might ask ourselves, to what or to whom have I said yes or no this day? What motivated me to say yes or no? What obstacles did I encounter? What specific conditions can assist me in sustaining my yes and my no? Do I understand that each choice I make influences the choices I make in the future? Am I afraid that saying no may require me to give up more than I had bargained for, or to grow in unfamiliar ways? Do I have adequate spiritual nourishment or emotional support for the yes I seek to say? If there is a particular choice or decision that concerns me, can I identify those people who will help support me and strengthen my resolve? And we conclude the examine by thanking God for this knowledge and for God's mercy and compassion. The first word to us is yes, and the final word to us at the end of the day is also yes. God's word to us is always yes. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.